Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Thank you again for joining us, and I hope everybody is having a blessed, safe Veterans Day, and we appreciate and support all of our active duty and our retired military, everybody that's been involved in the armed services for a very significant portion now of America's history. We thank you, we appreciate you, and we support everyone, and we have a sale going on right now, the Freedom 5 coupon. That's basically 5% off the website for Veterans Day today only. That'll be a 24-hour sale. So please, if you want to grab something, be sure to get a hold of that. And again, we appreciate the support and thank you for your service. And also, Dad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. And thank you again, guys, all the veterans that have fought in all of our wars. And, you know, and I know a lot of you guys have questioned some of the reasons you've been there. We have too. But that doesn't basically change the fact that you were willing to do what you needed to do and what you thought was going to be supporting the United States of America. So thank you for your service. And I want to talk a bit more about that in just a second. But real quick, I got a little bit of housekeeping to do. We air live on KYAH out in Utah. I mean, every day, 5 days a week. And we've got our agreement, our contracts coming back up with these guys. And I want to see how many of you guys are listening through the KYAH line as far as the live radio broadcast out of Utah, or if you're listening to us on podcasts in that area. So if you guys are listening on KYAH, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to call the office. You don't have to order anything. Just call the office, 1-800-726-1834. We'll log any amount of listeners we have out there via the live number. Of course, our show is always available on Global Star Satellite Network, which we have the links and affiliates attached directly to that to the website. So please, if you are listening on KYAH out of Utah, AM station, please call our office today. Let us know, 1-800-726-1834. Now, I want to talk about Veterans Day. I want to talk about the, you know, Armistice Day and how all of this stuff got started, who started it. And, you know, and I want to talk about how it's kind of like the forgotten history of America's Veterans Day and what it commemorates. I thought I'd do that for us today because of what today signifies. Veterans Day is celebrated each year on November the 11th. It was first celebrated on the same date in 1919 under the name of Armistice Day. The holiday was named in remembrance of the temporary ceasefire that brought about the unofficial end of World War I when the year before the Allied forces entered into an armistice with the Germans, stopping live battle on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. Now, I could go into the occult significance of the number 11, like September the 11th, but I'm not going to do that right now. A year later, nearly 5 months after the official end of the war, which occurred on June the 28th, 1918, with the Treaty of Versailles, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th the first commemoration with the following, quote, "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with the solemn pride and the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with the gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it was freed us and because of the opportunities given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." Now, let me stop for 1 second. The entire World War I, you know, we were brought into it with the sinking of the Lusitania, among a lot of other things that were going on with the shipping. The American people did not want to be in World War I. It was another banker war is what it was. That's all it was. And the whole thing with 9/11 or with Veterans Day is the Archduke Ferdinand out of Austria was assassinated, started World War I. Germany did not start World War I. They were an ally of Austria. They came to the aid of the ally. World War I was fought outside of Germany. The battle lines were primarily in France. There were no French soldiers in Germany at the time of the armistice. And what happened is Germany basically just ran out of food, they ran out of the will to fight, and they had been heavily infiltrated by communism, by communists, because the Bolshevik Revolution had spread from Russia into Germany, and the German people were wondering, why are we fighting for the ruling elite? Why are we fighting for the best thing we can hope for is to return back to our farms or our jobs? So the German people finally had enough of it. They were starving to death. They had been blockaded. And they just said no. But there were no foreign troops. Now, what happened is when the Kaiser said, okay, we're going to go ahead and just stop this, you know, because he knew basically he was going to be overthrown if he did not, they did. They stopped the war. And then what happened is the Treaty of Versailles happened, and then the international bankers got together. This is absolute fact, and put together the Treaty of Versailles, and it basically carved Germany up like a roast. I mean, about a quarter of Germany, approximately a quarter of Germany, was just taken away, including large sections of Poland, of Czechoslovakia, just taken away as war reparations. Then the German people were forced to pay huge war reparations. Now, if you go on and you read in this article, it doesn't mention any of that. In addition to that, there were huge groups of German Americans in the United States. In fact, at one time, German Americans were the largest minority of the United States. This happened after the Civil War, when so much of the population was killed and so many people from Germany came into the United States and started working. This is when my grandfather came over after the Civil War back in the 1870s. And what ended up happening is it was a giant mess, because congressional leaders, well, primarily Woodrow Wilson, wanted to go in the war because he was being blackmailed by Samuel Untermeyer and Supreme Court Justice Brandish and all the rest of the mess that happened with Wilson at Princeton when he had an affair with a married woman, which also brought us the Federal Reserve Act, World War I, the IRS, this blithering idiot Wilson. So he goes over and he basically signs his Treaty of Versailles, brings it back over to the Senate. They refuse to ratify it. So we didn't accept all of that, or the League of Nations. All of the stuff that was pushed together by the bankers for their one world government failed. They've done this multiple times, trying to basically rule the world through their fiat currency and through their global enslavement policies. Well, I'm reading an article here from it, and it says that in 1926, a congressional resolution was passed making the Armistice Day a recurring federal holiday, stating that it should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercise as a designated perpetuate peace through the good and mutual understanding between nations. As a side note, the federal government can't force the states into celebrating a holiday, and it's not within its jurisdiction, but most states adopted a stop the federal holiday calendar. Although the ceasefire, believed to have occurred on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, all these 11s, again, occult significance, this is because the Kabbalists did this, the Luciferians did this, and they use 11 as one of their top numbers in the Kabbalah and in gematria and in sorcery. This is supposed to be the end of the war, to end all wars. History has shown the naivety of the area. Now, this is when this article goes twisty. It says, perhaps the Allied forces showed too much sympathy with the Treaty of Versailles. What? What? By the time the war-ending document was signed, 7 months after the armistice in November, much of the Allied troops had returned home, and all the German troops had been dispersed, and no one, not the United States or Britain or France, wanted to remain in Germany or Austria to make sure the terms of the treaty were enforced, because they knew what they had done and how they had taken a third or quarter of Germany away. What's more, the treaty did not require unconditional surrender. The German troops also defeated. They were never defeated. I hate this history when they do this. The German troops were not defeated. But they were also disbanded, and it says they weren't. They were. Now, there were some left, but the majority of them had been disbanded. Then it says, as the embittered Marshal Ferdinand Foch of France, Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces, persistently concluded the Versailles settlement, this is not peace, it's armistice for another 20 years. Well, because he knew what was going to happen. Okay, you can't take a people and burden them with what would be literally trillions of dollars in war debt, who didn't even start the war, who weren't defeated in the war, whose military hadn't been defeated in the war, and then basically do all of this, you know, because of the international banking community. This is what happened. At this time, over 16 million in World War II, over 16 million American soldiers were called back into fighting. 40, that was, by the way, 42% of war-aged men headed out to battle. While we lost over 400,000 in the war, many of those and women returned home. Shortly thereafter, tension began to rise in Korea. By 1950, the Korean War began again. More banking intervention, more communist intervention. All of this stuff is being done by the international banking communities, which has also pushed communism throughout the entire world. So I want you guys to know that Veterans Day got started because of World War I, you know, Woodrow Wilson, and all of the rest. Now, the irony of all of this stuff is that, you know, you look back at what's going on, and we realize now that our military is being used to guard poppy fields in Afghanistan. And the guys didn't sign up for this. You know, this is a really good article I'm posting at the Health Masters website from Global Research, and it says, a conspiracy theory that became a conspiracy fact, the CIA, Afghan's poppy fields, and America's growing heroin epidemic. Now, very rarely does anyone ever talk about this stuff but us. This was posted, so I'm posting it up. It says, the heroin epidemic resembles the day when crack cocaine became the major drug that destroyed communities across the United States and other parts of the world, including the Caribbean, that began in the early 1980s. The crack cocaine epidemic coincidentally began around the same time as the Iran-Contra scandals being exposed. U.S. cities such as Los Angeles, Miami, and New York experienced a rise in crime and disease. And the Center for Disease Control reported back in 2015 that heroin use in the United States has increased 63%, much higher now in 2019, from 2002 through 2013. Fast forward, heroin is sweeping across the United States at unprecedented levels because of the opium production in Afghanistan, which provides more than 90% of the world's heroin. It has broken all records. This all happened in 2001 when they after 9/11, when we got control of Afghanistan, and we had to let the Taliban, so we stopped the Taliban that was destroying heroin production, and we allowed unprecedented growth of poppy. This is what we did. So I'm posting this article. You guys can read through it, and kudos to Global Research for posting this, because most people completely and totally ignore this. And what we have to realize is that, you know, it's been something that the communists have pushed since 1933, and they don't tell the truth about what happened. They don't tell you the truth that when Germany invaded Poland, Russia also invaded Poland. Germany only took the land back, pretty much, that was taken from them from the Treaty of Versailles. Russia got the rest of the country. England was in treaty with Poland, and basically England declared war on Germany alone and not on Russia, because, again, Russia, Stalin, was a 33-degree Mason, and so was Churchill, and the rest of the guys that were running England at the time were basically in cahoots with all of this, though that Churchill was not in power at that point. But see, this is the thing that people need to understand. What the heck happened in World War II? It was another banker war is what it was. They control all wars because somebody has to fund them. Somebody has to fund the armament buildup, the loss of men, the transportation. This year, we talked about ISIS in Iraq and ISIS in Syria and ISIS wherever, all over the Middle East. And, you know, we brought the question up, why do they have, you know, like 200 brand new Toyotas in a convoy? Why do they have state-of-the-art armament? Why are all their Toyotas, you know, or many of them running with 50 caliber machine guns? Why do they have anti-aircraft missiles and grenade launchers and all the other types of equipment they have? Where do they get the money for all of this stuff? Again, it comes to the international banking cartel, which uses George Soros as a cutout and a lot of other quote-unquote wealthy people that deal in arms trade as international cutouts. It all goes back to the same guys who crawl under the rock and hide there because they don't want you to know it's them. That's the group, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferians. It's that group that we talk about all the time on this show that run it all. And see, this has been interesting because this is the same group. And another, this is a good article from Zero Hedge. We got it posted. It says the Long March has paid off for millennials who love socialism. It says, according to a new poll conducted by the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, 70%. I got to stop for a second. According to a new poll conducted by the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, okay, 70% of millennials would likely vote for socialist candidates. 70%. Furthermore, 19% of them see the Communist Manifesto as a sure guarantee of freedom and equality that the Declaration of Independence, and 15% think that the world would be a better place if the Soviet Union still existed. Well, for you who believe that, the Soviet Union has failed. It has completely collapsed. Every time we have socialism get started, it fails. Communism fails. It costs more lives than more people than any other ideology in a comparable amount of time. Historical circumstances produced a near-perfect scientific test of the system of the 20th century. In every case, communism failed, ending in bloodbath regardless of race, ethnicity, culture, developmental stage, or religion. Simultaneously, near capitalist societies were tested the same ethnicities and cultures. East versus West Germany. East Germany failed. North versus South Korea. North Korea failed. Hong Kong versus mainland China. Only reason Hong Kong, China has made it is because of the massive amounts of slave labor. The outcome was conclusive and decisive of any social experiment could ever get. While capitalism lifted people out of poverty and created largely stable and prosperous societies, communism produced murderous and oppressive hellholes from which people desperately tried to flee. I mean, we have people coming in across the border, hiding in the backs of trucks, underneath trucks, hiding in trunks of cars. I mean, putting themselves in a situation where they can die just trying to get back to the United States to get out of their hellhole countries. I've got a guy who did tile for me many, many years ago and didn't know the guy was an illegal, but he got deported. And it cost him $10,000, he said, to get stuck back into the United States. And I haven't seen him, I haven't talked to him, I haven't hired him again, but I have one of his friends who contacted me yesterday and said the guy was basically deported, had to come back in, cost him $10,000 just to get back to the United States, to get out of this communist madness. Now, this article goes on to say that this is a system that was basically put together through the Frankfurt School. And then what they do, they talk about the Ukrainian massacre. It was called Holodomor. And this is the Wikipedia, you can look it up, Holodomor. And this happened in the Soviet Union from 1932 to 1933, in which there was a giant famine in the Soviet Ukraine caused by the communist leadership who basically killed the leader of farmers and tried to take the farms away. People couldn't produce food, and it said up to 12 million people died. This is Stalin and the gang. Again, I mean, he killed anywhere from 60 to 100 million people. What he did, and I'm not saying Hitler's some kind of hero, because you guys know I don't like Hitler, but the reality is Stalin basically was just, Hitler was small potatoes compared to Stalin. He was small potatoes. And Hitler was bad enough. Stalin was unbelievable because he was pushing and trying to force this communist banker ideology, this Kabbalist ideology into Russia. And into this, in the Eastern Bloc states. In fact, that's what he wanted to do. And now you think about it. We're the ones who gave all of these Eastern Bloc states to the Soviet Union after World War II. So, I mean, isn't it some type of culpability that the United States allowed this to happen and that we now are in a situation where they're trying to force this same ideology back onto us? Paul Craig Roberts basically came out with an article. He says the completely corrupt American media has covered up the Epstein story. And he's absolutely right. They don't want to talk about the Epstein story. And he has another article that says feminism and immigrant invaders have destroyed Europe. And this is a really good one. He goes, in Sweden, the rape of white Swedish women by these immigrants from Africa never stops. In the latest outrage, four Eritreans forced a 13-year-old Swedish girl into a bathroom and took turns raping her while filming the gang rape. According to the news report, this rape was preceded by violence consisting of at least two of the defendants. Well, they basically beat her up pretty bad. But the prosecutors say the blacks can't be deported because they're there for humanitarian grounds. Remember, the entire leadership of Sweden are hardcore left-wing communist female feminists. You say, well, it could be a male feminist too. Absolutely right, it could be. I'm just telling you who these guys are in Sweden. This is who's running it. He goes on to ask, why do white women continue to live in Sweden, a country where the feminist government dangles them as bait to attract more immigrant invaders? Polls show that 25% of Swedish women are afraid to even leave their houses or to go shopping. Did you hear what I just said, friends? One out of four Swedish women are afraid to even leave their houses. I mean, this is nuts. This is happening. And see, then he asks a bunch of questions. He has a whole bunch of links. You need to read this article. And he goes, clearly, the morons that rule Washington and Israel have created a world that is multiplying the numbers and the power of the enemies of Israel and Washington. And he goes, why in the world, how in the world, how does it help Israel to have vast numbers of Islamists into the United States to object to Israel's control of the government of the United States and Israel's territorial gains in the Middle East? Now, I'm going to tell you why they're doing all of this. Why in the world is this being allowed in the United States? It's to destroy the inner culture of the United States. Is to destroy the fabric, the continued destruction of the fabric of the United States, to bring in a communist world dictatorship under the Antichrist. This is what it's for. Let's give you a couple examples. Let's look at the transgender stuff to start with. One of the major stabilizing forces in the United States has been athletics. You know, you think, well, what do you mean by that, Ted? Okay, you have college football teams, which are basically the high levels, in my opinion, are rigged. You have NFL football teams, which they go out and even say that they're not a true sport. They're entertainment, so they can do whatever they want to do. You've got hockey. You've got baseball. You've got basketball. The Americans' love affair with sports is unprecedented. It's like gladiatorial combat in ancient Rome. It keeps the masses subdued and quiet. So now, how do you disrupt sports? How do you disrupt a stabilizing factor in the United States? Okay. You bring in transgenderism. Suddenly you say there's no such thing as a girl or a boy. Suddenly you say if you're going to have an MMA fight, a man can enter and beat women up. And now we have the entire country in just unbelievably angry this is going on. But yet our feminist dictator, transgender, weirdo, politician-loving nutbags are pushing this agenda. It destabilizes sports. Soon we'll have transgenders competing in every sport, and we'll have all of this publicity about them, and the sports industry itself will be totally and completely compromised. And when this happens, it will create more division, it will create more damage to the United States infrastructure as far as socialization skills and people getting along with each other. I have a friend of mine. Let me just go personal for 1 second. He married a communist. Didn't know she was a communist. When Barack Obama left the White House and Trump won, she went absolutely insane. And I'm being very careful with the words that I use. I'm not going to identify anybody. She was on the floor, literally crying for weeks, literally kicking and screaming on the floor. And I thought, wow, okay. Well, because I voted for Trump, though I call out both sides of the Trump, and I think the entire political process is completely and totally rigged in Washington, D.C., you know, I told her I don't like Trump, but I disliked Hillary more. That wasn't good enough. She's done everything she possibly can now to destroy my friendship with this friend of mine, including to the point now where he ended up with a staph infection, almost died, was put into hospice. Listen to me, friends. Almost died last week. I didn't even know about it. He sends me a photo of himself. He's lost like 80 pounds. He's in a wheelchair back home now. He didn't die in hospice. They sent him home with a full-time nurse, with hospital bed and everything else. And I'm still not allowed to visit my friend because of her political views and because of this twisted ideology she has. This is to the extreme that people go when they become tied into communism to a level where they no longer have any reasoning skills. In Germany, we would call it Verstand, or being vernünftig. You have no reasoning skills, and you have no ability to basically think through it from a complex standpoint. You allow your ideological beliefs to dominate every conversation, because that to you is the most important thing that you have. That's the mindset of these communists, these hardcore leftists, due to the Frankfurt schools. This woman was raised in South America, and so she's raised as a leftist, as a communist. You know, she worked in the newspaper industry for years and years as a leftist writer. This is who now is trying to take over the United States. And this is the problem. When you try to talk to them, it's as if a veil, which there has been put around their minds, and they cannot see and know the truth, know who Christ is, or to see and know the truth, the fact that we are in trouble in this country because of communism and socialism. They can't look and see that every socialist country has failed, including the USSR, which was basically backed by the United States to start with, because we gave Stalin all of these countries through the treaties that we had at World War II. All of this stuff that we got involved in and we did the proliferation of communism spread into China, okay, into Korea, you know, and then we thought into Vietnam. And so all of this stuff was happening because we did it. The United States of America did it. The leadership of the United States did it with communism. And then we had McCarthy try to tell us what happened in the 50s, say, look, you guys, you know, we've got the communists have come over here. They've infiltrated Hollywood. They've infiltrated the media, which is true. All of this, everything he said was true. And they're pushing their ideological views on us, trying to brainwash the American population. He warned us of what was going on, and of course he was vilified by the same media who did this. And this is the problem that we have right now with the United States. We have a group of people out there who run the media, who've done everything they possibly can to destroy freedom of thought and what's really happening in the United States. And the other thing that no one wants to talk about, you know, it seems as if the entire Western political world now is consisting of criminals and media-protected pedophiles. And you think, well, what the heck? Yes, because this pedophile ring, and we talked about this in depth last week, is part of the worship process that these guys do when they sodomize these young children in order to maintain power with the entities, Lucifer and the rest of the gang, or whatever you want to call them, pick a name, that they worship. This is what the Kabbalah teaches. This is what's involved with all of this weird angel worship and all of this stuff they're involved in. Guys, so we have to understand this battle that we have is not a battle against flesh and blood. It's against these unseen forces in the heavenly realms, like the Bible tells us. And we've got to pray, and I do all the time, that this veil be lifted, this energy field that's being created around the planet. Okay, let me give you an example. If you've got a certain frequency that makes you elated, or a certain frequency that makes you fearful, or a certain frequency that makes you want to go to sleep. It's an energy. It's a waveform. If they broadcast that through the planet, people start to basically emulate that waveform. They start to produce that same waveform, which creates that waveform around the planet, because you have an aggregate of billions of people thinking the same thing in fear. And see, and this is what they want. That's that veil the Bible talks about, that the God of this age is placed upon the mind and the hearts of the unbeliever. It's the energy field that goes around the planet. And until we can, if we break that energy field and we think about what is good and pure, like God and Jesus told us to do, then what happens is all of that breaks. And these entities live on that negative energy form. That's what they live on, these interdimensional things that go bump in the night, right? And so these guys have to be fed, as Satan runs about as a roaring lion, seeking those who may devour. This is what's happening, and we have to understand this is who's running the planet. That's why it seems like the entire Western political world consists of a criminal and media-protected pedophile ring. Because it is. It does. Because they want that energy field to permeate and stay around the planet, because it's what is in their best interest. Chaos. That's why the Bible says, think on the good things, whatever pure, whatever is just. These guys want you to think about all the negative stuff. That's why I try my best to stay away from a lot of the negative headlines and some of the stuff that I just don't post on the website, because it promotes fear. See, a lot of people make money from fear porn. They get people addicted to it, and they come up with this, the world's going to end tomorrow, or Planet X is going to come in and destroy the world, and you know, we're going to have tidal waves, and oh my God, a meteorite almost hit the planet. Well, here's the flash. A meteorite almost hit the planet. Why is that even news? Why is it news? No, it's to provoke fear. You know, oh my gosh, you know, Russian troops are coming into L.A. Harbor tonight, you know, at 10 o'clock p.m., blah, blah, blah. No, 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 that's not going to happen. I'm not going to report that. This past weekend, I watched a movie on the Battle of Midway. It was Dauntless, the Battle of Midway. By the way, I highly recommend everybody see it. It's got a couple bad words in it, but the movie's excellent, and it's relatively historically accurate. And what was interesting about this is, at the very beginning, it starts off with attack on Pearl Harbor. And then the guy, the intelligence officer, comes in, and they fire the head guy at Pearl Harbor, and the other guy, they bring in another intelligence officer, another admiral to come in and run Pearl Harbor. And he goes to the intelligence guy, he goes, well, we should have listened to you. You told us this attack was imminent, and we ignored you. No. They were told to ignore him. That's why they moved the aircraft carriers out of Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt had set up an 8-step process to force Japan to attack Pearl Harbor. They knew Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked. That's why they moved the flat tops. And the battleships that were there were built back in the 1800s. They were old ships. They were dilapidated. They were old. They were old technology. They didn't care if they got sunk or not, but they couldn't lose the flat tops because it brought the airplanes to attack the carriers from Japan. They had to move all the carriers out. And then the Battle of Midway occurred. The same intelligence operations guy said, it's going to happen at this location. This is how many miles out we're going to find this plane. It's going to happen at this time, this morning, this day. To the point that the government knew so clearly, because they knew how to hack the Japanese codes, that they brought Ford, one of the top Hollywood producers, okay, to basically Midway Island a few days before the attack so he could film the whole thing. I kid you not, guys. They brought him there with a camera guy and cameras to film the attack on Midway because they knew it was going to happen. And in the movie it says, well, you were 5 miles off, 5 minutes short, 5 minutes. He's like, they knew exactly when the attack on Midway was going to happen, because they had already intercepted the Japanese codes before Pearl Harbor. So this show gave away all of this stuff. And so it goes with the endless wars that we have. As they continue to bring in, what did Obama bring in? 100,000 Somalians into Minnesota and another 100,000 Somalians into Portland. I mean, are you kidding me with 60 IQs being forced into communities like this? Why? Because they want to do the best they possibly can to destroy the fabric of our society, because that's what the Frankfurt School dictates. And these guys come in and they have their 6 or 8 children, and they spread like a cancer. And they spread their ideologies like a cancer. And they can't integrate. Germany, Frau Merkel, has ruined Europe and Germany. Ruined it. My relatives hate her, but she's still running around in power over there. Why? Because the international bankers put her in. Remember, Merkel was raised as a hardcore communist in Dresden. She was raised underneath the entire teachings of Stalin and the gang. She was raised basically to be a communist, to bring in this Frankfurt ideology, and she's done it. Frankfurt School ideology. She has destroyed Europe, destroyed Germany. She was a wolf in sheep's clothing with a phlegmatic personality, with an underlying, how should I say this, objective to destroy Europe. And she's done it. Austin, that's my intro for Veterans Day. What do you think, bud, and what's your first story?
Well said. Well, there's a lot of comments on that, and I got a lot of other articles that I want to get to as well today. But one aspect of what you said that was so interesting when you were referring to Stalin a little bit ago is one thing that Stalin was noted for was his purging of any type of basically negative media about him, to the point Stalin would purge people he feared might become rivals. He would have them airbrushed out of photos standing next to him. Kid you not. He would remove their memory from the history books. He would have their names stricken, their photos airbrushed, completely removed, never to be spoke of again. And then, in some cases, if those individuals, especially if they were high-ranking individuals and people referred back to them again, he would execute individuals that ever brought them up again. They were forbidden. You could not talk about them. You could not speak of them. They do not exist. You don't utter their name. Now, what's interesting about this right now is YouTube and Facebook are now erasing the name of the secondhand information CIA whistleblower that is basically being used now as a scapegoat to have this CIA coup essentially to be brought in to obfuscate from everything else that's going on right now. We know that, I mean, the CIA is completely involved in this whole impeachment proceeding circus clown act that they have going on right now. And what's ironic about this, I just got this information from the American Thinker and a couple other independent articles, including Oliver Darcy has been referring to this. Facebook and YouTube are removing all content from their platforms that mention the anti-Trump secondhand information CIA operative whistleblower's name, whom news outlets have publicly identified as the CIA analyst Eric Ciaramella. No law bans media outlets or any person but the intelligence community inspector general from making the whistleblower's name public. The spokesperson for Facebook came out and said any mention of the potential whistleblower's name violates our coordinating harm policy, which prohibits content outing of witnesses, information, or activists. We are removing any and all mentions of the whistleblower's name. Now, what's crazy about this is that Facebook and YouTube have repeatedly allowed conservative right-wing individuals to be targeted. There's been lists made of individuals that voted for Trump to be directly targeted that's been released. There have been individuals that have been involved in basically talking about stuff that's going on whistleblower activity, but on the opposite end of the spectrum. Completely fine, no worries. But you have to understand, everything is getting focused to gear up on this impeachment with the CIA running it this week now. Now, I saw another article earlier today that they're now saying that they're bringing in psychologists. Psychologists now being brought in to essentially examine president's mental health, and they're saying that they're going to use these individuals to testify in the House impeachment proceedings as well, basically stating that Trump is not mentally capable of running the country anymore. Now, what you have to look at is nobody wants to talk about the cartel hit team that executed the family down in Mexico a week and a half ago. Nobody wants to talk about that and what's going on with that activity down there and what that family may have known or been involved of. That's a whole other side topic. They also don't want to talk about the fact that ABC blatantly suppressed the Epstein report 3 years ago during the election where Hillary was supposed to win. They don't want to talk about that. And the fact that nobody wants to tie in ABC, the fact that Disney owns them, that Disney has basically busted. If you guys watch the Polk County news over the weekend, Sheriff Grady Judd basically released another report. It was Operation Trick or Treat, which is a pedophile busting ring that happened here in Central Florida. There were 17 individuals that were busted for child porn. Two of those witches were active Disney employees. Nobody wants to talk about this. And Grady got on there and he said, I want to clarify something right now because a lot of people have been basically putting out fake news that these people have been in possession of child porn, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, it's 16, 17-year-old girls that basically look like they're in their 20s. He goes, that's not the case. He goes, that is already bad enough. He goes, but that is not what happened here. He goes, in two instances of what we found, there were child porn involving three-month-old infants. I didn't stutter on that. Three-month-old infants being sexually abused in these videos. Disney employees were basically arrested and indicted in this scenario that happened over the weekend. ABC doesn't want anybody talking about that. They don't want Disney getting outed for what they did. They don't want anybody talking about the Epstein story basically being shut down by ABC 3 years ago, nor do the fact does ABC want to have it shoved in their face that they used the Knob Creek machine gun shoot from 3 years ago as fake news to say that Syria was being invaded and used it as live coverage and then repeated coverage on Monday morning again, saying that Syria civilians were basically being attacked by Turkish rebels, airing footage over and over and over again of a machine gun shoot that happened in Kentucky. All of these things nobody wants to talk about. So the best option right now is to continually push for a CIA coup of an impeachment of Donald Trump. Now, whether or not this goes through, I don't know. Is this full-blown obfuscation? I know there's a huge amount of obfuscation of this. Or is it something that they're trying to do to basically scare him again? I don't know. I know one thing, and I have to admit I've always been very supportive and appreciative of Trump on this, as he's always been, at least vocally, not all the time as far as his actions, but a lot of times, very, very, very supportive of American nationalism. The entire aspect of Make America Great Again, that slogan, the ideals that he's put forward and the statements that he has made repeatedly throughout his presidency on Make America Great, that America needs to be concerned about America, that we should have national pride. He's been very vocal about this. And the one aspect that the globalists and a lot of people I've talked to that have analyzed this as well, that they can't stand, is exactly what Dad talked about with Sweden and the Somalian Muslims coming into Sweden and the United States and Europe and so forth, and everything of that nature, is that they want to remove the national pride of the United States. The only way to fully collapse and break the backbone of the U.S., regardless of an invasion, regardless of UN, you can bring all that factor into it, but to actually break the back of the United States completely, for once and for all, you have to remove nationalism from this country. You have to take all national pride and unity away, because at that point, there's nothing left fighting for in most instances, except maybe your freedom and your family. But, you know, that's going to be in very small, isolated pockets. People are going to support their friends and family and try to protect them. But that's going to be very small areas that are going to be very easily exterminated once you start having drones and UNs come in. However, if you have national unity and you have 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, roughly about 10% of the population that's strong American nationalists now, like a lot of our listeners, like a lot of the American Christian patriots, like a lot of the black and even Hispanic Christian patriots in this country, and you start coming in, they all say, it doesn't matter what skin color we are. It doesn't matter what all of our beliefs are in every aspect and context. We're all Americans. And this is a national problem, and we have to come together nationally and say, we are not going to allow this to happen. That is the strongest thing we can do in this country, and this is why the mainstream media has pushed so hard to divide this country via race. They're constantly race baiting. They're constantly starting race problems. They're constantly pushing all these things to break apart the American unity and nationalism in this country, and that is exactly why they do not like that aspect of Trump. Now, what else is going on with Trump behind the scenes? I don't know. I could only speculate. But I know his vocalism and his stance on nationalism has been very, very clear for his entire presidency, and that is something they do not want. So what is going on with this? It looks to me like they may be trying to go this route, or it's something to really, really bring all the attention away from what's really going on behind the scenes in this country and the stuff that I talked about repeatedly and I just mentioned earlier ago. One aspect also too that I wanted to touch base on that Dad brought up. He said that a lot of the younger generation is basically supporting communism and socialism, and he's 100% right. You know, I'm 31 years old. I'll be 32 next year. And I'm in that age where I'm still young enough to have a pretty strong handle on the younger population, but I'm old enough to remember things a little bit differently. I was born in the 80s. And what we're seeing now, and this is why it's happening, and I'm not justifying a lot of these young millennials' ideology, but this is why. Not only have they been brainwashed through a lot of the school system indoctrination in communism, the ideology of socialism has been pushed on them very aggressively. They have witnessed now that the entire American dream, for the most part, not completely still, but for the most part, has been pillaged and plundered by the bankers. Again, the bankers have come in and ruined just about every aspect of capitalism and American freedom. I saw an article here, and this is from Zero Hedge Now. Bloomberg has reported this in the latest Fed data. 1%ers, basically the top 1%, the ultra, 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 ultra mega billionaires in the United States now, which last week, by the way, saw another $1 trillion in market value added to their portfolios with the whole market China-United States tariff aspect being dissolved, so forth, and the total market value in the stock market going up to $82.7 trillion. Those 1%ers own over 93% of all stock and mutual fund ownership in the entire United States. Understand that. This means basically the top 10% of the families in the entire world own 93% of all stock and mutual funds. They own the whole aspect. They own the whole bag, so to speak, for the most part. And what's ironic about this is that we're seeing now that the more they take over and the more they run the numbers and the more they go in and buy up these companies and buy up these stocks and have these corporate directorships that all interlock, and they're buying up all the food companies, all the drug companies, all the petroleum companies for the most part, all the manufacturing companies. They're owning everything now. So the top 10% of the United States now owns 93% of all the stocks. This is what they're doing, and they're doing it so when the bottom starts to fall out, they're going to completely and totally control and own the entire country. They'll own everything. This is why the younger generation has basically been pushed more towards socialism now, because they believe that the upper class, and when I mean upper class, I mean people that maybe make a few million dollars a year and so forth, they believe those people, by being indoctrinated by the media, believing that this is a lie, anybody that makes, you know, $5 or $10 million a year is essentially the ultra, ultra rich, and they need to be taxed more. But what they're failing to realize is that the bankers, the top 10 and the top 1%, the bankers, the real ones that control the wealth, are the trillionaires. Trillionaires with a T. I didn't stutter on that. People go, oh no, you know, Bezos is this and Bezos is that. Bezos is a CIA cutout. All these guys are cutouts. They're basically handed money by the bankers. The big boy bankers, the ones that have the mega money, the multi-trillion dollar bankers, their names are not spoken of. They're not on MTV Cribs. They're not on the, oh my gosh, my big millionaire life. They're all not on those shows. They're so wealthy, nobody talks about them. And that's what people have to understand, because they don't want to have their name in the limelight. They don't want people to actually see who's controlling the numbers in the banks behind the scenes. They don't want people to know that there are actually trillionaires in this country that are operating and controlling the monetary supply. It's ironic that we've seen this amount of wealth accumulated by these individuals, and we also saw, remember you guys talked about it a couple weeks ago, the overnight lending and this unbelievably just sadistic aspect where JP Morgan launched, not QE, but propping up the entire market overall with the Fed with their overnight repo loans, injected another $280 billion in fresh liquidity in the past 2 months, pushing the Fed's balance sheet above $4 trillion for the first time since February, and also at the same time pushing the stock market, the Dow, to almost 30,000 now last week. They're going to push it to that, because once they can come in and completely monopolize the entire industry, see, they don't want the top 10, these top 10% don't want 93% of the stocks. They want 99% of the stocks. and the last 1% is basically the peon garbage boys, the little middle class like us down here. That's what we can dabble in. They want to own the rest of it, and they want to completely control and dominate the market. And at that point, then they will do a reset of the currency, so they will own everything, and then push it in to a new world order global currency. But only until then, they will continue to push their agenda to own and control just about everything. Because they're not going to short the market and go in and completely crash the entire market right now until they own everything. This is the last hand of the globalists for the United States. Once they do this, there is no turning back. They're committed at that point. And they have to break the back of the United States to get to that level. Now, a lot of people have been sending me emails again about basically what China did last week with 5G, or excuse me, with 6G. And I'm going to touch base on this for a couple minutes just to clarify what's going on. They said last week, China's Science and Technology Ministry announced on November 6th that it formed two teams to oversee the research and implement of 6G, marking the official start of a China-backed effort to accelerate the technology. And everybody's going, oh my gosh, China's starting 6G. That's complete and total garbage. 6G has been working on for years. Point taken, I will go back to another article that I researched and talked about from 2016. DARPA. Yeah, back to these guys. Back in 2016, it was reported that DARPA had already been working on and developed, under what was known as President Obama's Brain Initiative, a concerted push for advanced neuroscience. This was under the aspect and the guise of Qualcomm. Chief Technology Officer Matt Grobe of Qualcomm said that 6G was coming to market in the next few years on the aspects of what they wanted us to see. He said when you look at 1G being for voice in your ears, 3G through 5G for your eyes, for visual service, 5G for your eyes, clarify that, 5G was already old technology when Matt Grobe talked about this with Qualcomm. He said 6G will go beyond the head-mounted displays and will introduce direct neural interface. I talked about this last year. He said this on October 13th of 2016. This is over 3 years ago, guys. Qualcomm is the member of the industry group that is being formed and supported by the DARPA project with access to its rapid prototyping and manufacturing of neuroengineering components. It will give DARPA access to charging and powering solutions for brain implants and ultra-low power electronic designs and data compression. It goes on to say that the implants will feed sensory data into the brain at high resolution. It will feed sensory data into the brain at high resolution, and it could be one way to address the sight and hearing deficits, DARPA said in this article. They expect 6G to roll out no later than 2030, fully implemented. But then you go, well, why is there this big push for 5G? Why is 5G this latest and greatest thing if 5G is really just upgraded 4G on steroids that's a lot more dangerous for your health? Well, that's a great question, because the Academy of Finland actually, over a year and a half ago, April of 2018, came out with their company and funding 6Genesis on a 6-year research grant, said 6G is the next aspect of what we're going to do with neural implants, the same thing Qualcomm just said. Yet 6G can only be implemented when 5G is put into place. That being said, because the 5G towers are the same towers that 6G are going to use, except 6G is going to need larger antennas and larger spreads so they can basically repeat the antenna and the information more effectively. This is what's going on with these guys. So understand, the whole thing with 5G and the multi-trillion dollar push for it has nothing to do with giving you faster internet speed. It simply is a very toxic, dangerous byproduct of the conception of 6G on what they're wanting to bring about so they can have neural interfaces. It's ironic to me that we see so many things planning on rolling out and being pushed by 2030, including 6G now. So I just wanted to touch base on that. China saying this last week didn't do crap, excuse my language, with 6G. This has been going on for years and was started by DARPA as a neural interface program, and now China's trying to come out and act like they're the big kids on the block and they're going to be the first ones to implement it, and this is old news. This is why Trump came out at the beginning of the year and tweeted and say, I want 5G and 6G as fast as we can for our citizens so they have the fastest internet speed. Guys, it's complete and total lies. 5G is being brought out. They're putting the towers out as fast as they can, even though they know they're incredibly harmful. They know that there's extreme side effects to them. They're doing it very quickly, and then they're going to come out in 5 or 6 years. Mark my words on this. They're going to say, listen, 5G didn't give you guys the service that you wanted. It didn't give you as fast the internet that you expected. We're so sorry, but since we already have 5G already implemented, we're going to roll out 6G now. And 6G is the true weapons warfare technology on the Hertz system that they have that will be used to really, truly control your brain, especially once they run the neural interface, same thing that Elon Musk already talked about starting on in 2020, the Neuralink system that will interface into the 6G, so you will actually be able to see the visual aspects transmitted in your eyes. You'll be able to see them without goggles. They said that in a comment. Once 6G is implemented, Google Glasses will look like antiquated 1900s research technology. Legitimately, that's what they said. That is where the Neuralink is headed with 6G. So I just wanted to clarify that, Dad, real quick, what's going on with 6G.
Well, it's all it is obfuscation. It's all about controlling the minds. You know, that's what it's always been about, Austin. We talked about this for years with the smart dust and the neural interfaces and how they're going to control your central nervous system using this barium and aluminum. They're actually tying into your central nervous systems, and we have deficiencies of copper in our diet. Now our body is substituting it, and it's turning us into a read-write unit so they can read our frequency, which is our energy signature, which tells us them exactly who we are, and it allows us to control them, just like you saw in that one movie, The Kingsman. And this technology is real, guys. This has been around since the 50s, okay? They've had the ability to have a matador sitting in front of a bull, putting a certain frequency to the bull's brain while he's charging the matador with the cape, and the bull lay down in the middle of the doggone arena and go to sleep. This is not old news. I mean, I'm sorry, this is old news. This is not new technology. It's been around for 60, 70, 80 years, and they've learned all this. This was all from Tesla. Tesla and the research and frequencies, the fact that matter is not solid. We talk about it all the time on this show, and I don't think anybody else talks about this stuff. But anyhow, real quick, I want to make one disclaimer real quick. The Disney employees who were basically involved in this porn bust here in Central Florida this past weekend, this is not something that's been sanctioned or authorized by the Disney Corporation. And the Disney Corporation, as far as we know, and as far as I'm concerned, had nothing to do with any of this. They have tens of thousands of employees here in Central Florida, and the high levels of the Disney groups, they're not going to know anything about any of what their low-level employees are doing. It's just that we have a bunch of sick people working for a lot of different companies all over the world who are involved in this type of crazy stuff. Now, Austin also said something about how there's a group of people that are controlling the planet who are trillionaires who we don't even know their names. They don't appear on anybody's list. And I want to read you a couple quotes from Woodrow Wilson now. This is after he started to wake up. And he said, a great industrial nation is controlled by a system of credit. Our system of credit is privately concentrated. The growth of the nation, therefore, and all of our activities are in the hands of a few men. Now he's starting to realize what he did. We have come to be one of the worst ruled, one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the civilized world, no longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction of the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and the duress of a small group of dominant men. He's talking about the Rothschilds. This is what Woodrow Wilson say. He also said that this is very, very important. Listen to this. This, you know, all of this is from Woodrow Wilson's The New American, a call for the emancipation of the greatest generous energies of the people. New York and Garden City, Doubleday, Page and Company, 1913. Same work. Wilson also wrote this below. Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men of the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of somebody. They are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized and so subtle and so watchful and so interlocked and so complete and so pervasive that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. Now, there you go. This is the great destroyer of America. I guess after he began to realize what he was involved with, but it didn't make any difference. He still didn't try to undo things, if this quote is indeed from 1913, when he started pushing the Federal Reserve Act. He was being blackmailed at this point by Untermeyer. All of this stuff is history. And Wilson, though he was an absolute lowlife as far as I'm concerned, ended up basically destroying the United States as far as I'm concerned. He finished what Lincoln started, you know, and what Barack Obama brought into play now with his transgender world as far as, you know, Joan Rivers says Barack Obama is gay and that his wife's a transgender, which personally I believe. You think, well, people are always asking, well, do you believe that? Well, yeah, I do. I actually believe it. I believe that Michelle's a guy, and I believe that Obama was gay. That's what I believe. And so the groups in the university systems that we talked about earlier are pushing these communist ideologies because they want everybody to believe this stuff. Now, I had a whole bunch of articles on health and nutrition. We didn't cover any of them today. I want to talk about what's going on with the with children who basically are taken from their parents because of vitamin K shots. I also want to talk about the baby girl in Cuba who died 2 days after receiving her MMR vaccine, but don't have time to go into detail with all that today. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you today. Sorry the show went so long with me to start with beginning on this. I should have given more interface with Austin on this, but there was so much stuff I wanted to cover on Veterans Day. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Go ahead and finish it up, Austin. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Yes, absolutely, guys. And again, thank you for the support. Again, for Veterans Day, we have the Freedom 5. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M and the number 5. No spaces. Doesn't matter if it's capitalized or not. For 5% off on the website all day today. You can give us a call as well and mention it, and we'll give you guys the sale as well. So again, thank you for the support. Also, too, to be sure to check out the product of the week. It's on the last few days, Monday and Tuesday. It'll change on Wednesday. The vitamin C on sale for over 10% off right now is product of the week. And also, please be sure to vote for the product that you want to see win on Wednesday. So check that out. Give us your feedback on it. If you need anything, please give us a call. We are open today, 1-800-726-1834. We're here to help you guys out the best we possibly can, and we're getting orders out as well today. We have such a good relationship with the post office that they are basically holding everything open until 1, so we're basically getting all of our orders out. So if you get an order in this morning, we will actually get it out today still, all the way up until 1 p.m. After that, it won't go out until tomorrow, which isn't still a big deal. It'll still get to you very quickly. So again, thank you for the support. We appreciate everything. Have a blessed, safe, awesome Veterans Day. Keep speaking the truth. Keep waking everybody up. And stay strong and stay prepared. Have an awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.